I'm from Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, Canada, and I grew up, it's the Far East Coast. And in the 70s, it was a really big hippie community. My parents lived in a little cabin, and we had a little outhouse and a lot of music all the time. My dad was always playing guitar and singing, and there was always a fire circle happening in the yard and people jamming. So it was a really nice way to grow up, and a lot of Celtic music as well, a lot of fiddle playing. So that really started me on the road to music, and then my dad started singing more gospel than country after a while. So a lot of songs of faith and hope. So I think I write along that line. Well, I got discovered when I was about, I guess, 20 or something like that, about 5 or 6 years ago, by a record company because I was singing with some friends on a ferry boat, just jamming, and some people heard me and gave me a record deal. And from then, it took a year, I made a record. Then I went on the road for 2 years. I did Lilith Fair and opened for all kinds of different people. Just me, I got married, and my husband and I went on the road together, just the two of us. And then I got signed by Capitol after that, and had did a record with them. Took a year, and now I'm starting touring again. I didn't want to be a singer professionally. I always thought that was a little unstable and crazy. But I always did sing all my life. I loved singing, but it wasn't going to be what I did professionally. My parents were both in the arts. My mom is an actress, and my dad is a songwriter and a singer. And I was the disapproving oldest child who thought they were really irresponsible, and I just thought that I certainly wasn't gonna do this for a living. But when I was discovered on the ferry, and it was just such a nice way of, I think, fate telling me it was time to do what I loved for real and to not hold back anymore. I was. Okay. Well, how do you start this story? Basically, I love trees, and they were logging up in British Columbia, some really beautiful old growth forest that wasn't supposed to be logged. It was native land, and the land title had been obtained illegally to log. And northern British Columbia, I mean, they've been logging there forever, and they've just the place is just been completely shaved. Like, it's really quite devastating. And so this one place where I'd been quite a few times and loved, I decided to go up and see what was happening. And it was quite appalling. I felt very passionate about the situation, and I decided that I would protest, exercise civil disobedience, which was my right as Canadian. And the only thing is that the government had bought shares in this company that was logging. And so what ended up happening was the court put an injunction on the road that we were blockading, meaning that anyone who was arrested was charged with criminal contempt of court and not civil disobedience. So we were charged criminally and put through mass trials in prison, and sentenced to, I mean, in jail rather, not prison, and sentenced to time. Most of us did time, most of us who pled guilty. But I was going to plead guilty. I mean, I was there. And that's the whole Gandhian principle of civil disobedience. You say, yes, I'm here. No, I don't agree. What are you going to do with me? So it was a very empowering time for me. I stood on the line. I got arrested. I realized that it could hurt my abilities to travel in the future, but that didn't matter. I put it in my defense submissions is that if I was going to cross a no trespassing sign to help someone in trouble, I would never even think twice. And that is how I felt at that time. And defending myself in court just really made me realize that I had a head for justice. I had a heart for justice, and that the moment I saw something happening, I moved on. I would act on it. But when I went to jail, they told me that, and it was a really hard time. They said, next time you're arrested, you're going to be in jail for 6 months, and da 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 da. And I wrote a song while I was in jail about it. And I realized that I had a really, that was probably my strongest means of communication was music. And even though I loved being on the front lines for what was right, because I really felt that this was the right thing, it's completely, it was, to a cellular level, I felt like I was doing the right thing. And And so the music began really coming to me as a way of expressing my love of the earth and my need to remind others to respect it, but without preaching. You know, I don't like being that way, because that's how people close their ears. And so I'll do it. Maybe it'll be more abstract. Maybe they'll think I'm talking about loving a man, but very often I'm talking about loving the mother. Well, I'm so crazy on the road. They've got me booked crazy. I'm doing up to 5 performances a day sometimes. So to be active in causes is difficult for me at the moment. I have a lot of music going towards on compilation records that are putting money towards things like World Vision and cancer and research and one of the things that I'd like to work with World Vision more, but one of the things that I intend on speaking about and working with is trying to help parents understand that children shouldn't be on antidepressants. I believe that that, you know, children, there are the rare cases where we actually have, you know, a medical reason for using these drugs, but for the most part, I believe it's only 8% of doctors are actually allowed and qualified to dispense these drugs. And so everyone's giving them out as candy. And what they don't realize is that they're taking away an opportunity for their child to learn about their own strength and their own courage, because it's in those dark places of moodiness that we learn our courage and we learn who we are. For me, that's where I learned to pick up the guitar, because I needed some way to dig myself out. And we're not giving kids that chance. We're saying, oh, she's moody, she can't concentrate, just give her a little bit of this Ritalin and she'll be fine. You know, and I believe that it's an epidemic right now in America, and that it has to be stopped, because we're creating a nation of zombies. And so that is something that I intend to work for. Ooh, there's so many great things about being me. I know, except for my roots. I have to work on this. But other than that, let's see. Waking up with my husband every day is really great. He's a spectacular man who adores me, and so I have a whole lot of love going on in my day. I get to have a blast. I mean, I'm getting to meet a lot of people that I admire and respect, and I'm getting to sing almost every day, which sometimes is good, but sometimes it's not good, because it's not really a natural thing to sing every day. I need time off a bit, but they're giving it to me now. I don't know, just traveling, and also the idea that, and I believe everyone has this, but I really believe that anything is possible, and I have no idea what's going to happen to me in my life. I mean, tomorrow I might go, you know what? I don't think this world's for me. I'm going to go have some babies and have a garden. Now, that may happen. It could happen at any moment. And I love that. I love that life is unpredictable. So it's good. It's pretty fun. What's bad about being me? Well, what's bad about being me? I can't really... I try not to focus on that, but I'd have to say lack of sleep that I've been getting lately. So I actually... went to the website for the National Sleep Foundation, and I wrote my management a memo about what can happen to someone without sleep, like loss of logical reasoning and general irritability. And I said, I'm asking for at least 6 hours, possibly 7. And they were like, yep, got the message. So now they're going to start giving me sleep. So, I mean, you know, it's so funny. I mean, I did it kind of tongue in cheek, but I'm serious. Like, I can't deal. And
choice for that.
Huh? They
have drugs for that.
They have drugs for that. Yes, absolutely. I could have woken myself up with something, couldn't I? Yeah, so I just, but I really can't think of too much that's bad. I mean, there's always family things that I wish that I could help. I know. I've missed being on the road so much. I've missed a couple of really important things, like a birth of my best friend's baby and a few weddings and things like that I really want to be part of. So I've decided now that under no circumstances is anything going to come between me and those moments. So I've already told management when things are coming up that I need that time off, because that's my life and I'm going to be there for my life. I'm not going to be just a road dog.